You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to a special All-Star Week edition of the AL Central podcast. I'm Anthony Castrovince, and this week, in lieu of the usual news and notes, our beat writers covering the Indians, Tigers, Royals, White Sox, and Twins caught up with some stars of yesteryear to talk not only about their favorite memories from their careers, but also the current state of the game. We'll be back with our regular program next week, but for now, here are some fun chats with stars of the past. Jeffrey Flanagan with MLB.com. I'm here with Royals Hall of Fame closer Jeff Montgomery. And Monty, the focus is the All-Star Game, of course, and your first All-Star Game was in 1992. Can you take us through what it was like to get picked?
Yeah, it was exciting, and I had a couple of years prior to 92 that maybe in consideration for All-Star pick, didn't make the All-Star team, but that year, fortunately, I was in Milwaukee, and Hal McCray and I were in Milwaukee. He was managing the club, and Hal went as a coach, and I went as a player, and it was just one of those moments that you remember forever when Dave Woody, at the time our traveling secretary, informed me that I had been selected to represent the American League in the All-Star game. It meant a lot to me, and I think what it really says is that you've gotten to a stage in your career that it puts you at the top with others. And other teammates and other guys you play against in the league, they look at you, I think, a little differently once you have that, you know, that asterisk by your name as an All-Star.
Absolutely. Were you the lone Royals pick that year?
Yes.
Okay. And it was in San Diego, as I recall.
Yes, correct.
And what was it like when you first got there and saw all the other elite players of the game?
Well, it was very cool. And I know Hal McCray and I, leaving from Milwaukee, we had an unusual flight. We had to go through Las Vegas. We had a long game on Sunday in Milwaukee and ended up having a long layover in Las Vegas. And we didn't actually get into San Diego until the next day. But you know, you're scrambling to try to get your family out and everybody who you want to be there as part of the celebration with you. And it was overwhelming. And that's the thing that I probably remember as much as anything about those 3 days, is how drained and tired and I needed a break, really, at the end of the All-Star break, because it was just nonstop for 24/7. It seemed like getting there and then everything going on and everybody who's wanting to have an opportunity to whether it be family, friends, media, and all that. But then when you go in the locker room for the first time, the clubhouse, and you've got a guy next to you named Paul Molitor, and you got a guy on the other side named Cal Ripken. And it was just something that really, to me, was very memorable, very special, and very pleased and honored to have had the opportunity to do that.
And take us through the game itself.
Well, the game itself was very interesting because I remember Kevin Brown started for the American League, and I believe Tom Glavine started for the National League. We scored a lot of runs, and it was really essentially the game was over in the first inning. And I got a chance to go in, and it was fortunate that Tom Kelly, the manager, was able to kind of manipulate things based on the score of the game. He was able to get everybody in the game, and I went. I may have gotten an out, and then I gave up a couple base runners. I got another out, and then Tom Kelly brings in Rick Aguilera to replace me, and Rick Aguilera gives up a home run on the first pitch.
Oh, boy.
So I unfortunately don't have a very good line score from the game, but it was irrelevant at the time, and I was just happy to have had the chance to pitch in the game.
Terrific. Thanks, Monty, for joining us.
Appreciate Absolutely. It. You're glad to do it.
This is Scott Merkin for White Sox Extra, and this week we're kind of focusing on the All-Star game. I'm here with White Sox manager Robin Ventura. And Robin, in another life, you were a player as well, and you were an All-Star. And just, you know, first of all, you were at a San Diego All-Star game. You played at Jack Murphy. What was that experience like, just being in San Diego for the All-Star game?
Well, at first, it's an honor. I mean, at that point, I think I'd only played like 2 or 3 years. So, to get asked to go was an honor. And then you go there, and then once you're in the locker room, you're in a room with the best players in your league. So, it's like it takes you a second to kind of gather yourself and look around and realize, what a special event it is. And, I was fortunate. Tom Kelly was our manager. But it was a really good experience. You know, we had some older guys. Kirby Puckett was there. Ripken was playing in that one. So, Griffey, we had some You know, we had some players. And, you know, it's just, I think you sometimes, when you're that young, you think you're always going to be able to do it. And it, I had like 10 years in between, you know, going to an All-Star game. So, you know, but I didn't take it for granted. That was the one thing I didn't do.
I asked this of Aaron Rowan, who made one, but what's it like just when you're, I assume your manager calls you in and tells you you're an All-Star, you're gonna make the All-Star?
Well, I mean, at first you're, you know, I think everybody looks forward to the All-Star break and getting some time off, but I think when, you know, your manager tells you that, you get excited because, you know, not very many people get to go and do what you're going to go do. And, you know, I think the game is very competitive. It's the truest All-Star game as far as competing. You know, there's no letting up on anything. And so I think that's part of the joy. This is before Interleague. You know, I played in my first one, you know, when there was no Interleague. So it was important. I mean, I think both leagues took pride in being able to beat the other league, and, you know, you played hard for that.
Was the most competitive even before they added the World Series home field? I mean, I guess it was less of an exhibition than what the NBA is and what the NHL and
it's always competitive where you want to win it, but, you know, I think when there was no Interleague, that was the only time you really got to play against the other side unless you met them in the World Series. So, you know, when you went there, it was you're representing your side, and you wanted to make sure that you won. And the older guys made sure you understood that. You know, I think that was very important to them as far as, you know, carrying on a legacy for guys that have, you know, been lifelong American leaguers.
Anything that stands out from that first one, besides you got a couple hits in the game?
I mean, besides that? No, I mean, it was, you know, family got to go because it was in San Diego. So, you know, I had a few. It was my birthday. It was actually my birthday. But that was on the back burner. But, I mean, it was an exciting game. I remember Griffey hit a homer to put us up. And, you know, it's just you just truly enjoyed it. I mean, I think I don't remember too much of being on the field. I remember, you know, getting a hit, and, you know, it's kind of like your first game all over again, you know, where you just – you get snippets of it in your brain that you can remember, but you can't remember the whole thing.
Do you remember anyone, any veteran that you got to meet, maybe an accomplished guy? Because this is, like, I think, like your third full season, right, when you went, that was – you're like, well, that's kind of cool. I hadn't seen him play or played a little against him, but I got the chance to talk to him a little bit.
No, I mean, I think at that time, you know, it was different. There wasn't as much fraternization as there is right now. Like before a game, you see guys, you know, intermingle, and there was a little more. There wasn't as much switching teams. I mean, there was, but it just, you know, American League guys kind of stayed in the American League. And, you know, these guys, Kirby was really good about, you know, kind of, I don't know if it was being like a captain or something, but it was really important to him that we win that game. And I think, you know, Tom Kelly, you know, dressed the team in the same manner as far as, you know, how we were going to go about it and what we were going to do.
And then, like you said, 10 years later, you went to your second one.
Yeah, time flies. that's the one that, you know, ended in a tie.
Right.
So, you know, but there's nothing. I mean, I look at that one and I – you know, I was older, towards the end of my career, and, you know, you appreciate it, but it was just a different time in your life. You know, you have kids, so I got to take my son to that one. You know, he was on the field for the home run hitting contest when Giambi was in it, and, you know, because I was playing with him at the time, he, you know, Jack got to, like, hang out with him. Like he was, you know, he knew him. So I mean, that was a pretty cool experience for him. And but I just look at that game as, you know, Joe didn't really have a choice. I mean, we just really, you ran out of pitchers. You're trying to do the thing where you know, everybody gets to play, you know, guy gets an inning, and you just couldn't. I mean, Freddie Garcia was he was pitching, and he's like, oh, I'll keep pitching. And you just couldn't do it. So I think at that point, Joe knew that, you know, we're either going to put somebody in jeopardy or it's going to end in a tie.
You have pitched an inning in your career. Did you volunteer to go out there?
I was already in it. I told him I would, but I was already in and out.
Gotcha.
I was already.
So they wouldn't let you re-enter.
Yeah. No, that was actually the time I got to spend a little time with Konerko for the first time. He was on the team. Burley was on the team. So, you know, having been with the White Sox, I'm sure they heard some bad stories. So I had to clear some stuff up with both of them when we were in the locker room.
Was it strange then to manage Konerko after playing on the same All-Star team with him?
Not really. I mean, again, he's cerebral guy. He's a smart baseball guy. He was very easy.
I have to ask you about the first half. How would you kind of analyze kind of a big picture thing as we head to the All-Star?
Well, I mean, we came out hot. I mean, we really did. I mean, we were playing great baseball, and I think everything, pitching wise, it was all working. Bullpen wise, it was all working. I don't think we've really hit our stride offensively. You know, I think that's where we really struggle is when the pitching, wasn't as hot as it was, and we weren't scoring runs. It just made it difficult. But I look at it right now. We've made some changes. You know, you bring in TA. We lose Austin, and now you lose Avila. So you lose some important pieces there. But I think adding TA's really added another element to us, and I think it's made us better than we were at the beginning of the year. When you get a talent like him, the young talent that you just kind of infuse into your lineup. So, hopefully our guys can, get it going offensively to help us in the second half. And I think it will because, we got guys that are really under their norms right now of where they would be. I know Frazier, home run-wise, he's probably close to it, but average-wise, he's not. And I think that's really where you see, the RBIs down.
You have one All-Star in Chris Sale. Were you disappointed that a guy like Quintana, he seems to be mentioned a lot in the biggest snubs of the All-Star?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be the snubs. You wish the record was better. We wish we scored some runs for him because, we appreciate him. I mean, we realize what he is and how valuable he is and how good he is. But I think, the win-loss record is going to overshadow, how good he is. And it's unfortunate because – he's as good as anybody in the league. He really is.
This is Jordan Bastian, MLB.com. I'm here with Sandy Alomar Jr. of the Indians, and we're here to talk a little bit about, All-Star experiences. And Sandy, you went to 6 All-Star games during your Major League career. I think the first one was as a rookie in 1990.
That's correct.
You got to go to Wrigley Field, and your brother was on the other side, right?
That's correct.
Because what was that experience like? First year in the big leagues, I'm sure, overwhelming enough, but then to make the All-Star team your first year and to have your brother there too. I mean, that had to be an incredible moment for your family.
That's correct. Also, my father was there as a coach. The one thing is like when I came that year, I was just so focused on establishing myself as a Major League player. And then the fact that the fans acknowledged, myself and voted me for the All-Star game, it was kind of a dream come true. Just to be a part of an elite group of players and playing in one particular game to expose your talent, it was awesome. Especially it was in Chicago in the old Wrigley Field.
What was that moment like when you got to share that news? I mean, when you found out you were on that team and you got to share that with your parents and obviously with your brother as well.
That was an incredible moment. Everybody keeps saying, you are ahead in the votings and stuff like that. And I wasn't, really paying attention to it, to the degrees. I'm just if it happens, great. But I didn't want to get myself, my hype so high and then get disappointed. So, when the news came in and say you're going to be the starting catcher for the American League, it was wow. I can't believe this. My rookie year, there's so many great catchers and great players out there that the fans elected to vote for me. It was a dream come true.
Now, your first 3 years, you made the All-Star game each year. The first one, I'm sure you're just, kind of overwhelmed, soaking in the experience. Great moment for your family. But as you keep going back, are there moments like you want to seek out a certain player or make sure you talk to a guy? What stands out memory-wise of, talking to the other All-Stars or going to different cities for those events?
Oh, you want to talk to everybody. Everybody is in, all these elite players that play in your team. And at that point, we didn't play Interleague. And all the National League players, you get the chance to watch on TV. They're a great player. You get to see them, Barry Bonds, and our team, Ken Griffey Jr., and all the other countrymen, Puerto Ricans that you get to see there that you don't get to see during the season because they're in the National League. It's always a pleasure to watch and experience and see other players from the different league and see how good they is and compete against them.
Now, obviously, in 97, the All-Star Game is here in Cleveland. You make that team, but not only do you make that team and get to play here in front of these fans, but you hit the big home run in the seventh inning. Do you remember what that feeling was like, that moment you hit that and just kind of, you know, the way the crowd was reacting? You know, you're going around the bases, this place is going crazy. What was that like for you?
It was an incredible, surreal moment, man. It's just like the fact that we were selling out the ballpark and everybody was talking about the All-Star game all the entire year, and I was having a great year, and I kind of saw the opportunity of maybe I made to make it to the All-Star game here. I never expected in a million years that I was going to come in a key situation, because I knew Pacho Rodriguez was going to be a starting catcher, right, and I don't know how long he was going to play, or the game was going to be out of hand, or, you know, the score was going to be open. But just as, like, all the stars were aligned for that situation, I come in with a man in scoring position, and hitting a home run, delivering like in front of your hometown crowd, it was just, like, amazing, man. It was just, like, I had chills running the bases. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we're sitting here right now looking out at the field. I'm sure you can still sort of, you know, picture that moment.
Yeah, I remember Sean Anderson throwing me two breaking balls, and I was so pumped up that I swung at the ball before he even threw the ball. I'm going like, well, you know what? I need to calm myself down here, two-strike approach. And I had the two-strike approach. I wasn't even trying to do anything. I was just anything extraordinary. I was just trying to do necessary to put the ball in play. And sometimes when you try to do little things and you do the necessary, sometimes the extraordinary just shows up, and I end up hitting a home run.
Now, obviously, that's a great personal moment for you, not just for All-Star Game experience, for your career. But just do you have another memory of something that you saw in one of those games that you took part in that stands out, you know, when you think of all your All-Star games?
Well, also, like, the following year, you know, I won the MVP here in 97, and the
right.
following year we play in Colorado, and
right.
I had to witness my brother hitting a home run to win the game.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a similar situation of the 97. My brother had the chance to do it in 97. So the fact that he won the MVP the prior year, it makes me the better brother. No, actually, I ragged on that. You know, he's a Hall of Fame player. I said, yeah, buddy, but I still got the MVP before you did.
Colorado, that was when I think Barry Bonds hit a home run.
Bartolo Colon.
And it hit the banner had San Francisco on it.
That's correct.
I mean, that had to be crazy.
That was a bomb. He wasn't even a triple deck.
Yeah.
He hit the facade of the triple deck, the third deck, I should say. And it was very impressive to watch those guys. A home run contest in Colorado was super impressive. I was watching Vinny Castilla hitting balls into the scoreboard, or at least to the base of the scoreboard.
Right.
Those guys were hitting monster shots, and it's, like, very impressive.
Now, when we talk to Francisco Lindor right now, who's playing at a level where, I mean, if he started for the American League All-Star team at shortstop, I don't think anybody would be surprised given the level of play he's at. And when he talks, and we talk about players who he idolizes, he always mentions your brother, you know, Roberto Alomar. What does that mean for him to say that, and then to watch Francisco and what he's becoming here?
Well, my brother is very proud of all the fellow countrymen that are coming behind our generation, and especially the ones that were number 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he really likes Francisco Lindor because he's a humble kid enjoying the game, and he keeps himself the same. He's the same person he was a few years back, and hasn't changed. And his demeanor is always to get better and give 100%. And my brother always idolized, you know, players that, you know, he set a standard for middle infielders, especially for Latin American players. And Robbie, you know, I talked to him about Lindor, and he said, you know, like last year he met Lindor in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened that the minister was there in Toronto, and he couldn't spend a lot of time with Lindor, but he wanted to talk to him. So this year, he's going to make it a point to come down and talk to him a lot.
When you watch Frankie play shortstop, you know, some of the acrobatics that he does out there, plays that are extremely difficult plays that he is now making routine. I think we're starting to take them for granted. Does he remind you of not only your brother, but Omar, who you saw so much of?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, as a catcher, you have front row of the middle infielders and all the poetry in motion, all the spectacular plays. And I got to experience so many great plays with our infield, not just with Robbie and Omar, but with Matt Williams and Travis Fryman, even Gene Tobin first base. We have an unbelievable view, but Omar Vizquel and Robbie Alomar, they're in a class of their own, and everybody else come behind. So, like, you have to really consistently do what Francisco's doing right now for many years, and then we can say, okay, they're in their class. But I tell you what, he's pretty solid. But Omar Vizquel is like, it's not a knock on Francisco. Francisco, you know, you only have 2 years. This is his second year. But, yeah, it kind of remind me of Omar Vizquel.
Talk about the experience, your first All-Star game, what you remember out of it, how you made the team, and just what it was like mingling with some of these stars. I'm sure you grew up following.
Yeah, well, you have to realize I was really young when my first All-Star game. I was only 20 years old. So I was very shy, and it was in Milwaukee, 1955. And actually, to this day, I wish I'd have spent more time and gotten pictures taken with some of the players that I was in there with. But I was too shy to go and talk to anybody or mingle with anybody. And it was just a matter of showing up, playing the game, and getting back home. Now it was a quick trip because you go in, and you play and you leave. You had to get to the next town. Now you have 4 days where we only had three. Then. So, again, I wish I would have had a chance to spend more time with guys like Mantle and guys that, you know, guys I basically idolized as a kid in high school. So I was only 2 years from high school, so they were still my idol. And, but I didn't want to show that to them, that, you know, starry-eyed kid. I wish I had a chance to spend more time.
So you were in the outfield with Mantle there.
Yeah. I played right field. I think I was the leading vote getter because I was leading the league in hitting. And I remember playing the whole game, and Sam Usual hit a home run in extra innings to win the game. And he was...
Another one of my idols.
Oh
my gosh, yeah.
Growing up. So, so the All-Star game was a lot different then because it really didn't mean a lot. Because now it does mean something because you get a chance to have a home field advantage.
Yeah.
Back then it was just play the game, and early in the year it was a fundraising game for the Players Association.
Right, they would do two, right? One was for...
Well, that was later on, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. We played two. I think 3 years in a row we played two. But
and that had to be a little bit more taxing, I would think.
Yeah, so that was, you know, that was tough because in the middle of the season you needed those days off to recuperate or you know, get your mind back instead of, you know, take a break. But... But I enjoy the All-Star games, even though it was a little tough on me because I wasn't physically strong, and at that time of year I needed maybe a break to get away and get my mind off the game for a day or so, and so you can refocus. And but again, the game didn't mean anything. I knew a lot of players that get me in there, get me out of here right away. I don't want to play, you know. Type of thing.
Even then, even before you had guys with the airplanes waiting on the tarmac, waiting to go.
There was guys that didn't want to play, hit me first, get me out of lineup so I can go home or go someplace and do something. But it's a lot different now because it does mean something. And you have to realize the media is a lot bigger now than it once did. We didn't have all these networks and other things that are going on and home run hitting contests. Things like that. We didn't have like a softball game beforehand, celebrities coming and like that. All we did was show up, play. I don't even remember taking batting practice until the day of the game.
Yeah.
Until the day of the game. That's it.
So there was never like a special
BP. I don't even remember doing that. So, I mean, everything's different, and I say for the better, really, now.
If they had had the Home Run Derby back then, would you have done it? Had you ever thought about how you would react?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I would. I didn't want to embarrass myself. I was always a guy with a lot of pride, and I wasn't a home run hitter. And most of my home runs came as mistakes. And I remember playing in a home run hitting contest on TV. I don't remember you ever seeing that.
I remember, the ones, it was from Wrigley Field in L.A.
In L.A.
Yes.
And you
were
I played in that, and I got swamped by...
Who was your opponent?
Who was my opponent? That's a good question.
Because that was a one-on-one thing, wasn't it?
One-on-one. But, hey, they gave you $2,000 to come out there, and I was only making $9,000. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money to come out there. And if you won, you hit two home run contests a day. So if you won, you stayed on and did it again. But if you lost, you were gone. And I remember it was the first time I was ever, when your other guy was hitting, you were on television with this guy. I can't think of his name, but you sit there and you were
analyzing. Yeah, I can remember the guy, like the host.
You're analyzing the other guy. What are you going to say about Hank Aaron? You're not going to say anything about Hank Aaron. Home run for something that just came as a mistake to me. I didn't try to hit home run.
Were you one of those guys who, too, in a scenario like that, you were worried about messing with your swing, or you would have been worried about messing with your swing?
Because I never swung hard. I tried. Timing was the most important thing for me. And of course, whenever you get in a home run hitting contest, you sort of muscle up, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, I didn't have any muscle, so... So all my things was timing and concentration and thinking in a game of baseball. I wasn't physically the type of guy that could overpower a ball.
What was your favorite All-Star game that you participated in?
Probably my favorite one's probably in St. Louis. I got a couple hits and I threw a guy out at second base. I came in and short hop the ball and threw a guy out before he advanced to second base. But all of them I remember a little bit about. My first, of course, I remember a lot because my first one, and I got a hit a line drive right off the wrist of Boyer. I can't think, not Cleet Boyer, the other Boyer from St.
Louis. Ken Boyer.
Ken Boyer.
Right? Yeah.
So I remember I hit a shot down third base at short hop team and hit him in the wrist there. So.
I was going to say, it had to be a bad hop for him there, because he was pretty sure he was there.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah.
So,
again, I think what they're doing now with the All-Star game is great. I think the players enjoy it a lot more. They really take their families. We couldn't, because we couldn't afford it.
Oh, wow. They wouldn't.
We couldn't afford to take our families on trips and... plane reservations and stuff like that. But I'm not criticizing the players for doing it because they're great players. But they're able to take their families now, and it's a great thing for their kids. They're on the field, and it's getting a chance to meet great, great, great players and get their pictures taken with them. So that's super. That's great.
Was there a novelty too back then, seeing guys from another league? Because I mean, obviously, it was way before any league play. I mean, there were probably guys, because there was a little bit less player movement, there were probably guys that for years you would only see them.
You play the All-Star game, you basically with the same guys almost every year. And back in those days, particularly pitching, the same great pitchers were great every year. You know, I got sick and tired of facing all these great pitchers in the All-Star games. give me a break. But it was, it's great. It's a challenge, and I was always a guy that really liked the challenge and liked to compete. And the great thing is about the All-Star game, you're competing against the best, and that's I always enjoyed that, whether I failed or not. But it was always a great experience to compete against guys that you know are great, and you wanted to compete against, see how you did this.
Right. And when you were playing in National League ballparks, a lot of them were places that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Before. Yeah, never played before. It's always great to. Again, at the end of my career, I wish I was older, and I wish, oh my, it's great to play in the All-Star game, but I sure do these days off, you know. But again, it was.
He went to the guy right away.
I don't think the players really realized back in the early days the All-Star game was for the pension fund.
Right. Yeah, it was a
and
big.
That's why we had two, because we needed to build up a pension fund. And now it's a different ball game. But
yeah, with TV and all that.
But back then, it was very important that we had All-Star games, because I think the Players Association got 75% of the money, I believe.
Okay, I'm from both the games? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I'm not really sure about it, because I don't worry about things other than playing and stuff like that.
But yeah, that was one where, you were helping out your fellow players.
Yeah, helping out guys before us who maybe, Of course, back in those days, most of us never had an education. Now the guys, you're getting out of guys at college, and they have something to fall back on. We had to compete to stay in the major leagues, because that's all we could do. We didn't have anything else to do and didn't know anything else. But now the guys are more educated, and they're fundamentally more prepared to stay in the big leagues longer if they're able to do it.
Now, near the end, when you were going to the All-Star game, would younger players be coming up to you and say, "Hey, I grew up watching you"?
But it was, it's not like today. Today's a more friendly game. You see guys going over and hugging the other guys, going to dinner with them after the game. We were more competitors and saying, "Hey, we played and we competed. We wanted to beat the other guy, whether it was your friend or not." And I'm sure they do too.
Right.
But it wasn't one of those things where you give up and give guys hugs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You were worried about competing and staying with the team and staying on mid-team. We didn't have 3 or 4 year contracts.
Right.
Every year I played with junior year. And fortunately, I didn't have to worry about it, but I know guys that did. Year to year, day to day almost.
Even All-Stars would have to think about
you didn't want to get hurt, because you didn't want somebody else to give somebody else a chance to play, because they might take your job. It's just the facts of life, because guys competed. They wanted to play, and if you didn't maintain or if you got hurt, unfortunately somebody else might take your job.
Sure, and obviously another bright spot this year has been Eduardo Nunez, All-Star for the first time. What was that like to kind of hear him be announced as an All-Star as a team?
It's cool. You look at, you look at from where he was in the last few years, or even right before the season, breaking camp, that, not an everyday player. He's going to be the utility type guy to come in, and no telling how many, playing time he might get. But then all of a sudden, fast forward 3 months later, and he's named an All-Star. So all that, the story within itself is pretty cool. He's been doing a great job. He's runs the bases well. He's been playing pretty good defense, and obviously the offensive number speaks for itself. So he's been one of our guys that look to score runs. So that's pretty cool.
Last year you were an All-Star and you hit a home run in the game. What was the experience like last year being an All-Star for the first time?
Well, I just said don't hit a high chopper and lose your helmet, man, because everybody, that's just a typical thing. And he says he'll probably do that, but. But, we had a long talk actually about it yesterday, and I just kind of gave him the ins and outs of how everything works, the timeline of everything, of, what happens the first day, the second day, the third day, all that kind of stuff, and what to kind of expect. But one thing I just told him is, don't even worry about the game itself. There's going to be a lot of different, people pulling you in all different kind of directions, all this kind of stuff. Just enjoy everything with your family, because it really is an unbelievable experience.
How much did you enjoy it last year then?
It was unbelievable. All my family and friends came up, and obviously we got a taste of it with the Home Run Derby a couple of years ago, but this year, last year was completely different. Having a chance to, play in the game, and I guess the homer wasn't so bad either, so put a little icing on the cake. But all in all, it was a great experience, and Nooney, he'll enjoy it pretty good.
What was it like, obviously 2 years ago, Target Field hosted the All-Star game? What was it like to be part of that Home Run Derby and have, your family out there?
No, it was cool. To be honest with you, it's the most nervous experience I've ever been a part of. Looking around, even looking at it now, I'm not going to say I shouldn't have been in it, but at the same time, it was one of those that's kind of like, wow, you're – I'm hitting against Stanton that can hit it twice as far as I can, that kind of stuff. So, but that's what it is. It's the best players in the world, and you're all competing. And Nuni was happening to be one of those this year, so congratulations to him. But all in all, every time you get a chance to go, it's unbelievable.
So this year, what's kind of your plan in the All-Star game? Are you watch any of it, or probably just go and relax for a couple of days?
Well, you know, I told Nuni I hope he does well and stuff. I don't know if I'll be watching it. I try to get away from the game, man. It's the TV within itself. I might not even turn it on. I'm going back to Mississippi, leaving Sunday night. I'm staying until Thursday night. My 10-year-old nephew, he's playing in the same Coca-Cola golf tour that my brother and I played in when we were 10 years old, and it's the championship, the last of the tour, on Wednesday. So we're going to get in a cart and follow him 18 holes and that kind of thing. And my little niece, Olivia, her birthday is Tuesday, so we're doing her birthday party. So I got all sorts of plans. It's going to be a lot of playing with the kiddos and laying by the pool and the All-Star game, probably the last thing on my mind.
It's a pretty good timing, though, right, with the birthday and the golf tournament? Who would have picked that?
Everybody's crazy. Trying to find things to do and things to plan, I guess, over the break, but I already got mine planned, so I'm ready to rock.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
All right, thank you.